Alpha before, and I really think it's time as a church that during the pandemic we've been scaling back and scaling back and scaling back and doing not much of anything these days. And I've been thinking about that, and when the government comes and they say stuff like the church isn't essential, part of me agrees with that because we're not offering anything to the people. And so at least not the way we used to. And so I've been thinking, why don't we do something? Why don't we share our faith in some way that we can do during the pandemic? So I thought online alpha. So I would really encourage you to be praying for the next couple of weeks about people in your life that you could personally invite to alpha. Just say, hey, what is that one person that I think really is wrestling with the questions of life right now? And then give them a text and say, hey, have you heard of alpha? And then invite them to do online alpha. You can go, I'll have all the information ready on the church website. We're going to do it on February 8th. That's Monday at 7 o'clock. And so just invite them out, because I think this is a great way for us to share our faith during this season. Is that okay, guys? Smile or not. All right, turn to James chapter 3. We'll be getting into scripture this morning as we go. And we've been just spending a couple weeks learning about different things that can set 2021 on the right foot. So we talked about the need for wisdom, and last week we talked about how to define success according to God. We said that success according to God is being faithful to what He asked us to do, and that's how you evaluate the criticisms that you are that you will face during 2021 for the stuff that God asks you to do. Today, I think we want to talk about this, is that you need a word from God, or let me say it differently, you need words from God. So James chapter 3, and as you're going there, I want you to ask this question, and that question is this, is where do you want your life to go in 2021? What direction do you think your life should take you this year? Where do you want it to go? Do you want more of the same? You want the end of the pandemic? You want, well, what do you want? Where would you like 2021 to take you? A good life or a bad life in 2021? Well, the answer to that, let's look at our text this morning. Let's go for the first few verses of James chapter 3. This is James chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that those who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone stumbles in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide," circle that word, "their entire bodies as well. Look at ships also. Though they are so large, they are also driven by strong winds, and they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs." All right. So, for illustration point of view, I thought I would share with you my history of cars. These are all the cars that I've owned since I was able to own a car. This is a 1986 Oldsmobile. I bought it for $1 here in Three Hills. It lasted just about as long as $1. This is a 1992 Topaz. I bought it for $500. It had $10,000 worth of work into it, so great job, Dan, thinking about that. This car was awful, too, because it has the dubious honor of being the most towed car in North America, believe it or not. And I drove this thing all over Vancouver, and the traffic is all about the bridges. And if there's an accident on the bridges, the whole system gets gummed up. And I was always praying, Holy Spirit, just get me down the hump of that hill, and then I'm good. Every time, that was that car. My favorite car to drive was 1992 Honda Accord. Bought that thing for $2,000. I drove that thing, loved that thing. It was awesome. I put 400,000 kilometers on it by the end of it, so not me personally, but it was an awesome car. This car right here is sitting in Mike Lorentzen's lot right now. and it is probably the worst maintenance car I've ever had, and now I have my own. But the worst, I've always had really, really bad luck with cars. Like, really bad luck with cars. But the worst car that I've ever been a part of, I've shared the story before, was a 2012 Yukon. Okay? And just to summarize the story real quickly for you here, what wound up happening was I was the best man at my best friend's wedding, and he's like, Dan, I rented a Yukon. That's my wedding car. I have a thing for 4x4s. I don't know why, because we were in the city. And I was in charge of planning the bachelor party. So I was like, what do you want to do for your bachelor party? Dan, let's just go out to Harrison Hot Springs and have a camping trip. I'm like, okay. So Harrison Hot Springs, just outside Chilliwack a little bit. So we get there, and we decide, you know what? We'll set up camp here, and then we'll go on some logging roads with this massive 4x4, because, you know, we can, and we're city guys, and we know nothing about 4x4ing on the logging roads. So sure enough, we drive up these roads, and logging roads, which is different than rural Alberta. Rural BC is way different than rural Alberta. We're driving, we're having a good time, and then we hear this big pop, like, sure enough, we had run over some sort of log, and it had made a hole in the tire about as big as my fist. So we're not totally incompetent guys. We know how to change a tire, so we got out of the car, found the spare tire, which was under the undercarriage. I'm like, okay, let's change this sucker. Oh, yeah, you could put that back if you want. And so we couldn't find, apparently there's a special tool that kind of releases the wheel from underneath the carriage. We couldn't find it. So here we are in the middle of nowhere, BC, no cell phone reception, car full of food, and no way to tell anybody that we were said sick. So what we decided to do was drive on that wheel all the way back for 2 hours. And the result, you want to show the picture again, is that tire. That was the tire that we drove on. It was epically destroyed. And it was a rental. And the rental agreement said we couldn't take it off-road anyway. So you can imagine the problem. As we were driving, and I was thinking about how mad I was at my friend for driving us up in the place to begin with, I started actually thinking about what the most important part of a car is. Does anyone want to take a guess at what you think the most important part of a car is? Whatever you need at the time, okay? Anyone else?
The driver.
The driver? Not if you have a Tesla. The engine, yeah. The wheels? In my case, I would have thought it would have been the tire. I think the most important part of the car is the steering wheel. Think about it for a minute, friends. If you want to get to point A to point B, if that's the point of any vehicle, you need to be able to change direction. Think about how useless a car would be without a steering wheel. Wouldn't matter if it had engines or brakes or a person behind it. All you could do is drive in a straight line. And that's if the car's aligned. If it's not aligned, you're in trouble. I mean, you couldn't go on the road without one. The steering wheel is a small but crucial part of the car, because it sets the direction of the car. The wheel is the king of the car. Okay? Because it tells you where you want to go in the car. Okay? And whoever controls the wheel controls the car. Obviously. And if there is not, and unless there's, and if there's no one sitting in control of that car when it is driving, the car is in control of itself. And that's dangerous, because what winds up happening is that an uncontrolled wheel means that the car is wild and dangerous, and most likely means that the direction the car is traveling in will run into a wall, into a building, or collide with oncoming traffic, causing the death of those in the vehicle and those around it. So you understand right away that without somebody in control of the steering wheel, the car becomes not something that is a tool, but a weapon of death, a direction of death. Okay? And our tongues function the same way to our bodies. Like a steering wheel, friends, your words direct the course of your life. Okay? Listen to what the rest of the text says here. Let me throw it up here. Can you throw the rest of the verses on there for me, please? So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts a great many things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among many members of our body, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire what? Course of his life is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea and creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no one human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Okay? So you want to hit the next slide for me there? All right. So here's what you need to hear about the tongue. The tongue has the power to direct the course of your life. Okay? Proverbs 18:21 in the NIV says this: the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Honey, does this dress make me look fat? Okay? Life and death reside in what you say next, right? Okay? The direction of your life, and that's ways in what you say. The words that you say in 2021 will direct the course of your life this year. Friends, I would submit to you this morning that the most crucial human organ is not your heart, your lung, or even your brain, but your tongue, because it sets where your life goes. Here's what I want to say, and I want you to hear this really, really clearly. The direction your life is going to go, the direction your life is at right now, and the direction your life has been, has largely been governed by what you've said, what you have not said, and what others have said to you. Stop and think about this for a moment. If you want to get married to someone, it all depends on what you say, right? You have to actually use words and ask the question, will you marry me? And on the flip side, the direction that your life goes, who you wind up with, will result on whether or not that person says yes or no. Okay? Right there. When you go to a job interview and you sit down and you have a discussion with somebody, whether you get that job or not get your job actually really depends on what you say. If you are in school and you want to get certification for anything, your ability to be certified in the field of study that you want largely depends on the papers that you write and the tests that you take and what you say in class. Your whole life has been directed in large part by what you've said, the words that have been coming out of your mouth, the words that other people have said to you, and the words that other people have said to you, all right? And here's what I want to say about this, friends. Jesus, life and death belong in the power of the tongue. And so you have a decision this year about where you want your life to wind up. It can either be in the direction of life or it can be in the direction of death, largely based upon what you say, how you talk to people, and what people have said to you. And you know what, friends? Jesus hates death. Of all the fears that grip the human heart, no fear is greater than the fear of death. There are those that will tell you that death is a natural part of life, but if death is such a natural part of life, why does it hurt so much when people pass away? You see, friends, Jesus wants us to speak life and live in life, and he loves life. The Bible says is that God is the God of the what? Living, not the dead. Not the dead. God desires is that we use our tongues to speak life over people. God, that's why God created our tongues. With our mouth, we have the ability to steer people towards Jesus. I want you to look at a few verses here this morning. You want to throw it up for me if you can. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The sovereign Lord has given me a well-instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. Man, right now, I think that people are very weary. And to be able to say something that actually sustains people in a time of weariness is really, really important. Proverbs 12:14, from the fruit of the lips, people are filled with good things. What you say speaks life and gives stepped into people. And my favorite is Proverbs 15:23. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, but a word in season, how good it is. A word in season. Do you have anyone know what it's like to have a word in season? Okay. You know what I mean? You're talking with someone, you're working something out, you're just pouring out your heart, and they say something that really resonates in your soul. It's just the right thing at the right time, and it just really hits you really well. You need it. It speaks life. It encourages you. You know, that's my goal every time that I'm up here. I don't know if I do it all the time, but that's my goal, is to give everyone here a word in season, so that they might have life in them. Jesus' goal is that we use our tongues to speak life, friends. Far, far, our goal is to speak life, and we know that life is found in Jesus. Amen? And so our tongues, what we say, what we do, should point people to that we are speaking that way. This isn't a sermon about saying nice things to people and not saying mean things to people. This is a sermon about saying that the words that come out of your mouth will either set your life or other people's life in the direction of life or death. You listen really carefully to this. If you're afraid to say hard-to-hear things, you can set people on the course of death, can't you? Right? And it works the other way too. If all that you say is nice, fluffy things, that sets people on the course of death too. The Bible actually calls that sin. That's called flattery. Saying something nice about someone that isn't true. Right? This isn't about, you know, saying nice or mean things. This is about speaking something that brings life. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building people up, according to Christ Jesus." So this isn't about swearing or not swearing. This isn't about all this. This is about speaking life. That's the words that you say. That's how you say it. You could be true, but you could say it in a way that is condemning and speak death over people. You got to be very careful about how you articulate and present that. But we want people to find life in Jesus. But far, far too often, our tongues are like a car without someone in control of the steering wheel. And a car without a driver in control is a car that is dangerous. And I want you to look about what James says about this real quick. An uncontrolled tongue drives us to death. Listen to what it says here. Four things that James says about the tongue. Number one, God holds us to account. Verses 1 and 2. Says this, is that not many of us should be teachers because we are judged more strictly. Why are teachers judged more strictly? They could teach something that's wrong. That's exactly it. You know, it's really hard for me. My greatest fear is that I would lead you in a way that could actually kill you. Okay? Here's the truth about any spiritual teacher or any Bible teacher that you need to hear. When a surgeon makes a mistake on the operating table, they ruin you for this life. But if a pet preacher makes a mistake at the pulpit, he not only ruins you for this life, he ruins you for the next life. Mormonism is a great example of that. Because it sounds Christian. They use the same... they articulate their faith exactly the same way that we do, except that they don't believe that Jesus is God. And right there, in that instance, that ruins you for this life and the next life, because it robs you of a chance to know Jesus now, and it robs you of a chance to know Jesus in the future. Okay? Life and death reside in the power of the tongue. And so teachers are judged more strictly because what they say has power. I know that in this room, there are a lot of us that are critical thinkers, and I'm great at that. I'm glad at that. But I would venture to say that there are teachers that you love more than others, and that you have to be very, very discerning about what they say, even the good ones. Hey? Because it could lead you to life or death. Number two, tongues are small but powerful. Verse 35. Or 3-5. When we put bits into our mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by so strong wings, they are steered by a very small rudder, just like a car with a steering wheel. But it makes, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Just like bits control great and powerful animals and ships, your tongue controls your life. So you need someone in control of it. Number three, a tongue not tamed is like a great fire. Consider this in verse 6. Consider what a great forest fire is set inside by such a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire. And it itself is on fire by hell. Why does James compare the tongue to a forest fire or a fire? Well, I'm from BC, and forest fires are something that usually happen quite a bit in the summertime. And if you remember January of last year, there was a big news story down in Australia about what? Fires. And one of the things that came out of that was that a lot of endangered animals in Australia were on the brink of extinction because of the forest fires. Here's what happens when a fire brings death. It destroys life. Someone was mentioning down in the States right now, I don't think it is an exaggeration to say that the civil unrest that is going down there has largely been a war of words. Among other things. A wild tongue is an impossible fire to... And lastly, a wild tongue is impossible to control. Verse 7 and 8. All kinds of animals, birds, and reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. A tongue that is wild cannot be controlled. Listen carefully. If all that we get out of the word is that we need to try harder not to say bad things and just say nice things, we would have missed it. Why is it so hard to control your tongue? Anyone want to take a guess? I'll take answers from the front or the back. Anybody, why is it so hard to control the tongue? Oh, yes, it is. That's exactly what I was going to say next. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33-37. A tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. Or, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? Now listen to this. For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word that you speak. The words that you say will either acquit you or condemn you, life or death. Where is your tongue going to take you? And Jesus is saying straight out that the reason that you cannot control your tongue is because what you say is a result of what is going on in your heart. You want to know what is, if you said something or why you said something or you know what is going on in the deepest recesses of your soul, look at what you say. Because it is a result or a reaction of what is going on here. And that is why Jesus says you can't contain it, is because if your tongue is, if what is going on in your heart is that you are ruled by your sinful nature, guess what happens? The result is sinful talk, death talk. And that's, friends, why I'm going to ask you one question. You need someone in control of your tongue. You need someone in control of your heart. And if you have someone in control of your heart, what will wind up happening is that what you say will be controlled by the Spirit too. You need some, to be really corny, you need Jesus to take the steering wheel of your heart and let him control it. So as we close today, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to ask you, I know that everyone in here has at least heard the idea of inviting Jesus in your heart and your life, but have you let him control of your tongue? Have you invited Jesus to be God of what you say and how you speak? Have you prayed that prayer? Just say, God, today be in control of what I say. A few years ago, I had a friend. Her name was Stephanie, and she was an amazing woman of God, and she married my best friend, Nathan, and she became pregnant, and they have three little boys, and they're all amazing. One, on their first try, when their first kid, they got the news that their child was born with a physical defect, and so she sent a prayer request out, just saying, this is what happened, can you please pray for an unborn child? And so she did, but in her letter, she said something very peculiar. She said, I think this is my fault. She's a very type A person, right? So, you know, new mothers, you know, they go through all the books. They do everything that they can to make sure that the pregnancy is good, all natural, all this kind of thing. And she didn't do it exactly by the book. And because she didn't do it exactly by the book, there was this weight on her that what happened was actually her fault. And then Liz and I were praying for her, and then we were reminded of the story of the crippled man that Jesus healed. And Jesus went up to this man, and the disciples said to Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born physically defected? And Jesus responds, you know what he says? He says, neither people sinned. He was born this way to give glory to God. And in that, we just said, you know what, maybe this is a verse for her. So we sent that Bible passage and said, you know what, if he's born physically defected, it's for God's glory. It's not your fault. And in that moment, she was able to, there was a release of the weight that happened over her, speaking life over death. So this morning, my question to you is, where do you want 2021 to take you? I think it's largely governed by what you say, what you don't say, and what people have said to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the chance to be together. And we pray that as we go out from here, that you would speak to us and you help us use our words to speak life over people. And everybody said, amen. Amen.